What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday. Oh my God. It's hump day. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far, a great day of the week here. And speaking of great, speaking of humping, and speaking of here, it's Jackie O.
Hey, everyone. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, how y'all doing?
How you doing? What?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm exhausted. You know, going on 5 months of not having a sleep period of longer than 3 to 4 hours is really starting to wear at me.
No, it's enough.
I know. Yeah, I'm just tired. And then the story stunk today.
Oh, no.
I've been searching fruitlessly for like so long. I mean, I have 5 stories and they're fine. It just compounded what was already an exhausting morning.
Let me tell you the good news. One, it's Wednesday. We have Dear Toaster. So if the stories stink, like we still have good shit.
True.
Two, we can always talk about ourselves. And that's such a relief.
No, and it's like the stories are irrelevant, but still we need stories, you know?
You know what? That's so funny.
And they're
funny.
The stories that I choose are a reflection of me. And
Jackie,
when they're not giving anything worth giving, it reflects poorly on your girl.
So funny that you said that. Because last night I was actually thinking, like, what if just one day, not forever, but like just on a rogue episode, we just like fucked the Fast Five, you know? Should we do it?
If there were to be a day, today would be the day. But it actually wouldn't. Because sometimes like there's so much to talk about in our personal lives, like a Monday, maybe a long weekend. And we just like have so much to say that we could fuck the Fast Five a little bit. But I feel like today it's just Wednesday. We caught up yesterday. There's not that much new news.
I mean, I actually have like a major life update to share with the group.
Can you share with the class?
Yeah. Jackie, do I look different to you at all?
Well, you're wearing an updo.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm wearing my hair in a bun because it's so dirty and I'm going to work out today. But that's not what I was talking about.
Well, that's, you do look different and that's why.
Yeah, I guess like that is low-key psychotic of me. I can probably count on my hands the amount of times I've worn my hair up on the show in the last 7 years. Today is probably number 4 or 5. But no, I was talking about my face. A lot of people are talking about like me looking really different. And I, yes, okay, you caught me. I got a lash lift. Every like few years, I remember that lash lifts are a thing. And I'm really blessed. Like I have very, very long eyelashes, but like they dart straight out. You would never know. They don't hold a curl well. I can't even really like, mascara is like useless for me. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, lash lifts. Let me try that again. And every time I get it, I'm like, I need to get on a routine where like I make an appointment every 2 months, like add it to my beauty routine. Cause I'm obsessed. I feel different. I'm not even wearing mascara.
You do look nice.
Right?
But I also like your hair up.
Thank you. Actually, this is a good way for me to promote something I want to talk about. I normally wouldn't wear my hair up. But these days, you know, I'm feeling very confident. I'm on this health journey, this fitness journey. And putting my hair up for, you know, an hour on the podcast, like, doesn't scare me as much as it used to. And speaking of health and fitness, I recorded a solo podcast. I said I would, and I did. And I had such a blast. And 45 minutes just flew by. I wasn't even, you know, sometimes when you record a solo episode, it's like, oh, how many minutes did I do? 11. Oh, God.
Did you hone your solo podcasting skills?
I definitely brushed up on my solo podcasting skills. People are kind of praising me as a solo podcaster of our generation.
Am I out of a job?
nobody said like, fuck Jackie, but nobody also said like, Miss Jax on this one, you know?
No, none of you said that. Can't come to your girl's defense.
Well, it's up on Patreon now. It is a 45-minute question and answer for all the questions people have remaining about Ozempic. And I also give an update in me and Ben's Ozempic journey, because the last time I talked about Ozempic and did a whole podcast about it, Ben had gone off of it and I was still on it. Now, I don't want to spoil things, but things have kind of been shaken up in my home and, you know, things are different. I don't want to, you know, I gave the Patreon exclusive. I'm going to let you guys listen. So patreon.com/atoast, any remaining questions you have about Ozempic, the journey, side effects, going off, anything. We talked a lot about like, you know, food stuff. Enjoy that. And if food and diet and exercise aren't for you, just don't listen to it. Like, you don't have to, you know, make a federal case. You just don't have to listen to it.
Just skip that one. There's going to be great stuff coming up this month.
Yes. I'm also headed to Mexico after this episode. So housekeeping announcement is that tomorrow and Friday's episodes will be audio only. I will be bringing my microphone with me, so don't worry. We're going to take the long weekend because it's Martin Luther King weekend. So we're not in studio. There's no show on Monday. So I hope everybody has some fabulous plans for the long weekend. I can't believe it's like so early in the year. We're already blessed with a long weekend.
I know. I feel like MLK is usually like the third, like the following week in January, and things just, or maybe not, but it kind of is just sprung upon us. It's very exciting. I look forward to maybe catching up on some of the aforementioned sleep that I've been missing.
It is exciting, but I have a hot take, and I don't want to be ungrateful, and I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me, because I'm always excited and grateful for a three-day weekend. But I just feel like the placement of MLK Day like isn't ideal. Now, I know it's like, you know, out of everyone's control, but like, were it up to me, I feel like there's like more dry times of year where we have like no vacation times, you know?
Yeah, I think
no federal holidays.
No, this is a generous one because we're easing back into the new year, and it's like you just have to make it like 3 work weeks until you get a long weekend. There is a dearth of federal holidays in March that needs to be solved for. Yeah. And we should add one day in March because there's no long weekends in March except for spring break. But like, we're not spring breakers, sorry to say.
We're grown. We are grown. But depending on how the calendar falls, March/April. No, it's actually usually April is like Passover and Easter.
Yeah. So there's a hole in March, and maybe we could give some suggestions of days that could become federal holidays.
Yeah. What about International Turd Day?
I like International La Turd Day, the feminine turd.
Love.
Through the feminine gaze of the turd.
Not El Turd.
Oh, not El Turd.
You know what's so funny? You know, we have a list of people like we would in a dream world love to have on the podcast. I feel like there's 5 or 6 people. Kelly Clarkson, of course, Taylor Swift. For me, like Kiki Palmer has recently been added to that list. And I was thinking over the last couple of days, somebody I want to add to my personal list. Do you have that written down? I do somewhere.
I have dream guests. Yeah. You know, I got a list for everything, Turdy.
Right, right.
Okay. Tell me who.
Well, read the list to me thus far.
Okay. Dream guests. Here we go. Kiki Palmer, mm-hmm. RuPaul, mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson, mm-hmm. Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Josh Groban.
LOL.
Guy Fieri.
LOL.
Elon Musk.
LOL.
John Corbett.
John Corbett. We are funny. I'm sorry. We are funny. Okay, here's who I'm adding to. And of course, like the obvious ones you should add, like Taylor Swift and any.
Kim Kardashian, yeah. Kylie. Yeah. I'm not adding them.
Like, but no, because they're so obvious. Like,
I don't have to remember that we want them.
Ready? I got 2 words for you, Jackie. Jack Black. Isn't that a good one?
That's a good one. Jack Black.
Do you think Jack Black's assistant's like a toaster and could help us out?
It's very possible.
I just feel like Jack Black is so, Jack Black, like, low-key. I'm so glad I brought this up. Jack Black low-key became so fucking famous. Like, it's insane. He's like, we all know him, and he could have just gone on to be like an actor who we thought was funny, but he's in like billion-dollar franchises back to back, like Kung Fu Panda, Super Mario. He was just at the Golden Globes because he was nominated for another one of those franchises. One of those Pixar things, like.
Oh, wow.
He does a lot of voice acting. He's so supremely talented.
He's so talented. Honestly, you know what he would be the perfect guest for?
Good Guys.
Good Guys.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, actually, I saw Ben post yesterday a picture of Theo and said, good boy.
I know.
Good boy, son of good guy.
I know.
It was very sweet, very sweet.
Quickly back to good guys. The reason I thought of it is because me and Ben were in bed like 2 nights ago just talking. And I realized, because I'm obsessed with celebrities. I feel like everybody knows who my favorite celebrities are. I'm like, Ben's like not really in the celeb space. And I think I was asking him, like, who's like your role model? Like, who do you love? And he just think really, really hard and long about it. And he said Jack Black. And I'm like, yes, yes.
No,
Ben is Jack Black.
He's Jack Black coded.
Yep. Coded.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah. So anyone you want to add to the list?
I'd have to think on it.
Sometimes it just like pops up. Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm desperate to ask this pepper this person with questions.
Right. And like Jack Black has such a long and illustrious career. Like I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, I would, of course, begin at School of Rock and I would end at School of Rock, too.
Oh, you would?
What's your like? Oh, The Holiday.
The Holiday is major Jack Black for me. Shallow Hal.
I'm so sorry.
Shallow.
It starts and ends with Shallow Hal.
Yeah.
Like how many, that's another such a random movie we quote all the time. Hey, now she's getting into my Clams Casino.
Is it also Hey, Look at Me?
Yes. Hey, look at me. That's also from Shallow Hal. We were also watching Shallow Hal at like literally 6 years old. We like had it on VHS. It's a, like that movie raised me.
It's a movie with a great message, sort
of. Yeah, it kind of. Like it would never get made today, but at the end of the day, the message was good. It was like, you know, it's on the inside what counts. We're all beautiful on the inside.
Yeah, that's a good message.
And like low-key Tony Robbins being a full-blown character in that movie as himself, like it was such a good movie.
Yeah. Gwyneth.
That's the thing about Gwyneth. She has never missed in her entire career. Not once.
No.
Did anyone ever see that movie where she plays a flight attendant with Kelly Preston? I think it's called Up in the Air.
Of course.
Literally, I think some people would consider that like maybe her miss. I think it's one of the greatest cinematic achievements of our time. She has never missed. She will never miss. And if Gwyneth Paltrow has 100 fans, I'm one of them. If she has one fan, I'm one of them. And if she has zero fans, I am dead.
Speaking of that movie, someone who is like a Jack Black comes and goes, supremely talented, donde esta? Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, I put in the same category, not as Jack Black, close, but as Jim Carrey.
Another great.
Like the greatest talents of our generation, really, Mike Myers, Jim Carrey. Not thirsty. Do it for the love of the craft. Where are they?
Where are they?
That's a good call.
That's my question.
What do you think is Mike Myers' greatest cinematic achievement? Because it's Cat in the Hat.
Austin Powers.
Shrek.
Shrek.
Yeah, it's like these guys
and our husbands, their favorite movie ever
is Austin Powers.
Love Guru.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I get that movie confused with Hitch? Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Oh.
I feel like they came out at the same time and they were both like dumb.
Yeah, but they're so different. No, Love Guru is totally Mike Myers.
It's Mike Myers? Yes, okay. Okay, my bad. That's like not my genre of movie. Our husbands love those movies.
Love.
Ben's favorite movie, like literally, is Love Guru. And I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, me neither.
But I have seen Don't Mess with the Zohan and it's excellent.
Yeah.
Different. Different, yeah. But I put them first. You know, you just like associate two things as the same, even though they couldn't be more different.
Yeah. You know what I kind of associate, even though they couldn't be more different? I don't know why. Love Guru. And 50 First Dates.
Okay.
Did you ever see that movie? Oh, no. It's, of course. So it's only okay when you talk about irrelevant movies that you associate?
No. I'm sorry. I wasn't making fun of you. I was saying like those two movies couldn't be more different.
Yeah. I think the poster for them are similar looking. That's why. It's like two people looking at each other.
I don't know what the poster for Love Guru looks like. I've never seen it.
I've got it. I just looked at. Yeah, there's like three people. Okay, let me look at 50 First Dates. And who's the guy? Oh, Adam Sandler. Another one.
Yeah.
Okay, the posters are the same. It's like people sitting.
Oh, by the way, I know why you, I'm sorry. I know why you conflate the two. It's because Adam Sandler's also sort of in that genre of Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, Jack Black, like supremely talented, not conventionally handsome men.
Oh, yeah. Not about the looks, just about the comedy, good flicks. Adam Sandler's like a little oversaturated at this point, unlike the others.
He's very commercial.
The others are very like scarce in their work. We want more.
And I wanted to update everyone from a conversation we had yesterday when we were talking about, like, you know, women being able to get away with saying and doing crazy things. A lot of people sounded off in the comments who they thought was like the equivalent.
And there was one resounding answer.
Well, there was two, actually. A lot of people were saying, like, Sarah Silverman, Chelsea Handler. No, I don't think they really do or say anything that crazy. A lot of people said Jackie Schimmel.
Yes, that's what I saw.
And that was a great answer. But people also said, which I thought was even more fitting, because Jackie Schimmel from the very get was like, fuck off. I'm going to say what I want, and I'm not going to put up with your bullshit. So she's never really even, like, experienced any sort of backlash because she, like, wouldn't allow herself to. But somebody who's, like, been through the ringer and who literally cannot be brought down, cannot be canceled, they have tried. Trisha Paytas.
I saw that one, too.
And she's very YouTube-y, which, like, Theo Vaughn is, too. I think that was a good answer.
Yeah, I think that is a good answer. There's not, like, an exact equivalent. And I think the comments from yesterday just highlight that there really aren't that many people. But the consensus was Jackie Schimmel.
Yeah. Oh, also totally random. Did you see JC Marie Smith is pregnant?
Obsessed.
I've been watching 1,000 videos on TikTok about it. I'm so happy for her.
Oh, I'm not on TikTok, but I've just followed her for a while. And she's been, like, sharing her fertility journey. And she just started recently, like, sharing that she was doing IVF. And she was posting videos. And who knew that as she was posting that, like, she was pregnant? It does make sense that she would only, like, start to share that once she had a result. But I was so happy for her. And Chelsea, who's her co-host, is also pregnant again.
Oh,
and
that's
so they're
nice.
Pregnant at the same time, like, podcasting duo pregnant at the same time. I don't know, it's like my dream.
Yeah, no, for sure. Maybe in a few, like, in a year,
in five years by Rebecca Searle.
So that was just exciting, you know, women in podcasting.
No, when I saw that, I was so happy for JC.
She's also been, like, so open. Like, she did, I think this was their second round of IVF. The first one didn't take, and that was, like, obviously devastating. So I love when people, like, share their journey. Obviously, nobody has to share anything, especially something this personal, but she did, and I'm really happy for her.
I'm really, and she's been, like, wanting to be pregnant for a long time, and I think, like, the whole internet is happy for JC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love when things happen like that.
Yeah. When I saw the pictures, I was, like, genuinely shocked and joyful.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.
And one thing about JC is she's going to take a gorgeous photo. She's going to reinvent photography.
Yeah.
She's a real trendsetter.
Yes, like a tastemaker in the culture.
Tastemaker.
If you guys don't know who we're talking about, her name is JC Marie Smith, J-A-C-I. I found her on TikTok, but apparently, like, everybody's been, like, following her forever for years. She's a podcast on Dear Media, right? Mm-hmm. And she is, like, an Instagram, she's a multi-platform,
multi-platform girly. She's an aesthetic tastemaker.
She's a redhead.
Girly. She is a redhead. Represent.
And, that's just exciting.
And she's pregnant.
Like, that's just fabulous. And she's pregnant. Yes.
Speaking of redheads, I finished the book for the redheads last night. We are recording today. This book was so good and, like, intense and just, like, pulls you in. You should really read it. It's called Strange Sally Diamond.
It's on my list.
And I'm really excited for this episode. I still haven't chosen what book I'm going to choose for the next one. And I'm running out of time. The clock is running out.
Let me look really quickly through my, like, most recent Goodreads.
Two thrillers. I don't really just want to choose an arbitrary thriller. I don't.
No, I know, I know. So let me see what else I read besides thrillers. I mean, you could always do Mike the Situation. I just want to say, like, I know you already did a thriller. I just wanted to add that one more time.
One more thriller.
Actually, if you are going to do a thriller, I think maybe a better thriller.
Than Mike the Situation.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you should do this book. Even though I feel like probably the other girlies have read it.
And we can't do
it. Because it's so popular. None of This Is True.
Bye.
Lisa Jewell.
No, and I know what all the girls read because we do a segment where we share what we've read. So that
Jackie,
does not...
it's about a podcast.
Oh, I saw in one of the groups that they think it was, like, Toast Coated.
And by the way, like... I love the redheads. I'm not saying anything negative about the redheads, but you do kind of pick like outlier books sometimes. Like, this one's very on trend. It's all over Goodreads, and I read it, and it's actually excellent. I had no notes. 5 stars.
Okay. I'll see if anyone has read it, and then I'll choose it. Yeah, I do like choosing. It's always fun when we choose a buzzy book, but sometimes you can find, like, a jewel that no one's talking about.
Of course.
That's
and
we can also, like, platform authors who might not, we have a really large audience. A lot of people are going to buy this book. It's, like, nice when it's someone who hasn't gotten a lot of shine yet, but deserves it.
And Jackie, you know how I feel about Buzzy Books. Like, it is a conspiracy. It's industry plant. Like, you know how I feel. But, you know, every now and then it's good to be on trend. Like, you were on trend with The Measure.
Right. Also, some things are buzzy for a reason. Nothing was buzzier for us than Fourth Wing, and that's like our most listened to episode ever.
Oh,
and, like,
true, true.
We are also running, you know, a non-profitable business.
Right, right. No, so is this breaking news? The Redheads are not a profitable business? Actually, that's not true.
It's not true. Depends.
You guys sell a lot of merch.
It depends on the month, and it depends on if we do merch.
Yeah.
But, you know, some months the Redheads is a nonprofit.
It's a passion project. Passions aren't meant to generate revenue.
I like calling it a nonprofit.
Okay, because you're like doing a service.
Yeah, like I run a nonprofit called the Redheads Book Club.
You have to get your 501c3 tax classification.
Yeah, we give back to the community.
Well, while you were reading last night, I finally started The Crown.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I know. So, spoiler alert, Diana just...
Hey!
...died. and it's good. I have to say, like, I actually prefer the seasons of The Crown for parts of history I wasn't really conscious for. I mean, I wasn't really alive with Diana, but like, I know about it. It's a part of the culture. It's Diana this, Diana that. There's been 1,000 movies, documentaries. It's like, I feel like all we ever talk about is Princess Diana. So I think I prefer the seasons where I learn about things that happened in history that I really had no idea about. Yes. And I think you were the one who said this, that really put things in perspective for me. It's like, when more time has passed from that moment, you know, we learn more about what actually happened. People's letters are released. It's like, you know, journals. So I feel like a lot of the Diana stuff is so subjective. Because there's been 1,000 movies, documentaries, and they all say different things.
Yeah.
So I happen to think The Crown, I have no proof of this, I find The Crown to be like the most legitimate and reputable reference for history when it comes to the
royals. Even though they're constantly telling us like this is not true.
I know. But if what they are saying is true and like how it went down, like those last 24 hours in Paris, like seriously, Jodi Fayed like is the biggest loser of all time.
I need to watch it. I don't want your opinions to like color my view of it. Yeah. And I want to see if like we wind up at the same thoughts and conclusions. So maybe I'll try and watch it tonight, you know, if bedtime goes according to plan.
It's such a delightful show.
Yeah.
Also, like, not to be so annoying, like, Diana is the main character. I'm just, like, not a Diana girl. You know, I feel like there are some people, especially, like, the gays, they love Diana. Like, they could watch 1,000 hours of Diana. I'm, like, really not a Diana girl. But I'm also not an Imelda Staunton girl. So, like, I don't even know where to look. I'm kind of, like, finding myself liking Prince Charles only because, like, I like Dominic West. Like,
hate Dominic West.
No, now I like him. Ever since he was in the Downton Abbey 2 movie, like, love.
Yeah, I've turned a corner on him, too. He did something recently that was, like, good. I don't know what it was. Oh, and also like his son is in The Crown as well, right? Didn't we just...
You're lying.
I thought that's like what we put together a couple months ago. Let's find out. Dominic West's son.
And I don't know, The Crown just like doesn't hit as hard when the people they are portraying are still alive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Dominic West.
Like William and Kate. It's weird.
Makes his acting. Oh, yeah. In the season before, in season 5, the person who plays William, Prince William, is Dominic.
Like the toddler?
He's like a adolescent, mm-hmm. is Dominic West's son.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Cute. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't down for them like casting Dominic West. You know, like I know Dominic West. I like The Crown to introduce me to people I've never met, Elizabeth Debicki. So when he was kind of like a name before The Crown, I wasn't down. But he actually did good work. Now, I feel that way about Imelda Staunton. You know, she's a big Harry Potter girl. I don't like her as the queen.
But also, we have to keep in mind the queen is in her flop era.
Who is your favorite queen in terms of...
Claire Foy.
Oh, I'm an Olivia Colman.
But I also just, like, loved that era of The Crown because it was, the most historical and there was so much that I didn't know and I was really getting to know Queen Elizabeth. And so, like, to me, Claire Foy is the queen.
Right. So like the season of The Crown doesn't feel so much like a historical show. It literally feels like a soap opera. I can't explain it. Like it's too current.
I think that's why they eventually stop.
Yeah. I feel like not to be like such a hot take. Like I feel like it should have ended before Diana died. Because we all know how that goes, you know?
Yeah.
That story's been told.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I look forward to watching.
Yeah.
And now I think, without further ado,
let's breeze through these stories.
Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Caraway. As you're starting the new year, do you have any new goals? I do. I'm cooking. I'm done ordering
it. I saw you cooking on Instagram.
It's so not economical. And it's gross. Like, it's never good.
How about gross?
And, like, it's... You never know what's in there. Like, I feel like on my health journey, like, I... Whenever I'm, like, doing really good in my health journey, it's when I cook. And... Enter Caraway. I got the whole shebang when I moved into my new apartment. Bakeware, cookware, storage. I got everything. You can't tell me nothing. Nothing on this planet compares to Caraway. Nobody takes better care of their Caraways than me. I'm like so obsessed. Caraway is non-toxic cooking products. Their products are made without any toxic materials like PFAs, PTFE, PFOA, or other hard to pronounce chemicals. It's easy cooking. Their naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for slide off the pan eggs and easy cleaning. It's well loved. Over 65,000 people, including Jackson Turd, have raved 5 stars about their Caraway kitchen. Now it's time for you to try it for yourself. They have so many collections to explore. Whatever your kitchen aesthetic is, they have something for you. Brass, silver, gold, different colors, minimalist. Like I got, I think it's sage. It's green with silver hardware because that's like so my kitchen aesthetic. I got like a green rug. I'm in like kind of like this green area. You guys will see when I start decorating my apartment. So they have so many collections. There's one for every cook. Visit carawayhome.com/thetoast to take advantage of this limited time offer of 10% off your next purchase. The deal is exclusive for toasters. So visit carawayhome.com/thetoast or use code thetoast at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Market. Again, goals for the new year, staying healthy, keeping a fully stocked kitchen so you don't have to keep ordering in. Enter Thrive Market, our go-to for all of our grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to our doorstep is a huge time saver. They carry brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods, and they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, so we can use their on-site filters to suit our lifestyle needs. Jackie, I know you get like 3 Thrive Market deliveries a week because you have a family of 4 now. Tell me about that.
I love Thrive Market. I love getting my groceries online. I love not lugging huge bags home from the store, and I love that everything on Thrive Market is like vetted as a healthier for you option, made with good ingredients,
clean,
organic, clean, so you don't have to like go scouring through the ingredients and make sure there's nothing nefarious in there. So you can shop easily with clear conscience. You can sort by dietary preference, vegan, plant-based, whatever it is that you like. And they really have everything. I was just doing my Thrive Market shopping yesterday. I'm excited for some tasty treats.
When you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. So you join Thrive Market and they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/thetoast for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/thetoast, thrivemarket.com/thetoast.
Great. Thank you, La.
You're welcome, Pa.
Our first story, some legal news. Todd and Julie Chrisley receive a $1 million settlement in a lawsuit alleging misconduct in the investigation against them.
Question mark?
Yeah, Todd and Julie Chrisley have scored a legal victory amid their ongoing prison sentences for their involvement in multi-million dollar bank fraud and tax evasion scheme. On Tuesday, a lawyer for the couple announced that they are receiving a $1 million settlement from the state of Georgia to resolve their 2019 federal lawsuit against Joshua Waits, the former director of special investigations of the state's Department of Revenue. We have been saying for months that the criminal case against the Chrisleys was highly unusual and had real problems, the family attorney said. This settlement is an encouraging sign. He said it's nearly unprecedented for one arm of the government to pay money to defendants when another arm is fighting to keep them in jail.
Right.
After being cleared of their state of tax evasion charge in Georgia, Todd and Julie took legal action against Waits in October 2019 for specifically targeting the famous family in their state tax evasion charge. According to the lawsuit, which was obtained by People, the Reality Star's former lawyer said that Waits' initial charges against Todd and Julie was a shocking example of how an out-of-control public servant can abuse his office and violate the rights of innocent citizens for reasons that have more to do with securing publicity and money for his office than with enforcing the law.
But the thing is no matter his motivations for bringing charges, like if they did that shit, they did that shit. So the fact that the government paid them $1 million settlement, a settlement is really an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's more here. I've always
felt like... Especially when it comes from the government who can afford to keep this going forever. No, sometimes people settle because they can't...
Afford the legal fees.
Afford the fees and the time and the energy. And it's like, you know what? I just want to be done with this. Like,
right.
I will settle. But the government doesn't have those hangups.
No. And I definitely have felt like the Chrisley case is bizarre because, you know, they got more jail time than a common criminal, like a rapist gets. They got 12 years, which is really a lot for a financial crime, which is really a victimless crime because they were just, you know, taking some banks to the cleaners. But I do believe that they did that shit, though, you know? But I do understand because I'm always seeing clips of, like, Savannah Chrisley. Like, she has a podcast and she talks about this every single week. Like, she is not letting this go. She's really, really feels like I think her family has been wronged. And honestly, this, you know, news story does help her case.
Yeah, that this person, like, abused their power. And even if they did something that, you know, it's not to the extent that it was prosecuted so heavily. So...
And good on the Chrisleys for, like, continuing the fight. But, like, I don't know. I wouldn't be spending my energy on, like, trying to get a settlement from the government. I'd be trying to get my sentence commuted, you know?
I guess. But this bodes well for their entire case, I think.
Yes, it's true.
And it shows
that step one.
Perhaps there was some corruption. And I don't know the extent of what they did and the extent of, you know, what was nefarious in the Justice Department. But now I'm like, maybe the Chrisleys aren't so bad.
Right. Maybe the Chrisleys need to be vindicated.
Perhaps. So I think it's good. I mean, also $1 million, great.
Always good. Especially, especially, I'm sure they worry a lot about, like, being in prison and their kids, and they have grandkids, and, like, they're, I think all the kids except for Grayson are not minors. And now Savannah is, like, the parental guardian for Grayson. But still, you have to worry about your kids, you know, financial health and their ability to, you know, make ends meet. So,
yeah, but they work and they'll be okay.
Right. But no, I'm saying getting $1 million is probably a huge, you know, sigh of relief for the Chrisley parents who are in prison, unable to provide for their children and grandchildren. Because, yeah, you know, they took in custody of one of their grandkids, Chloe.
Yeah.
Who's really young. So, like, they have dependents.
Always good to get $1 million.
Never, ever, always, ever hurts.
I mean, you say that, but I'm sure there could be a situation.
Let me ask you a question. How much money would somebody have to pay you to spend an entire year in prison? And let's say it's not like a maximum security scary place. It's not. It's kind of like where Teresa Giudice went.
A lot. Because it's not just about, like, the time in prison. It's time away from your family, like, missing life.
So how much? And I'm saying, like, tax-free.
$50 million.
Oh, my God, really? I was going to say $1 billion.
$1 billion?
Yeah, and then I was thinking, well, if somebody offered me $500 million, I would obviously say yes. But honestly, like... Am I crazy? Like, I don't think I would do it for $100 million. Like, it's so, I'm so afraid of prison. It's, like, so my number one fear.
No, I don't think that's crazy. But you have to, like, then also think, like, you know, $50 million would be life-changing.
Yeah.
So for 1 year.
Like, yeah. No, and, like, I guess, like, you're thinking about your kids. So, of course, like,
yeah.
I'm just thinking about me.
Yeah, like, we could get.
A plane.
A house. A plane.
You could get a lot of things.
Not enough, though.
Not enough. That's what I'm saying. 500.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Drama Selena Gomez.
Oh, yeah.
Abruptly quit social media again after the drama of Kylie and Timothy and she. So Selena posted that she is leaving social media, saying, focusing on what really matters. I'm off social media for a while. And it was a photo of her boyfriend spending quality time with some kids. And she's just like that. She's gone again.
Okay, we'll see you in an hour, Selena.
She also posted, yes. Commented on an Instagram post about the drama.
Yep. E! News had posted about, like, the lip reading saga.
Yeah, like, did Selena say that this and this? And she wrote, no, I was telling them about two of my friends that had hooked up.
Okay, I am more certain than ever that she's lying, because that's, like, the worst lie ever. And, like, we all know Kelly said with Timothy. So, like, stop lying.
Yeah, no, but also maybe she's talking about her two friends that hooked up
with Timothy.
Kylie and Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe she thinks it's not a lie. She was talking about two friends who have hooked up, Kylie and Timothy.
Yeah, I will say, like, Selena Gomez's social media behavior is not the best. And this is just another example of, you know, of that. Because she will be back and it'll be sooner than you think.
Yeah.
And that's so Selena.
It's this Instagram. She can't quit.
She can't. And that's relatable.
So Sort of.
But I just want to say, like, that comment, I think, really didn't help her case. They really just shouldn't have said anything, because we could all just wonder. We would never know. But
we would never have hard, cold proof.
But her now saying, not only were we not saying that, but I was talking about two of my friends who hooked up. Like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't.
And now you also, like, look like a liar.
No, you weren't. Like, stop.
It's bad to lie.
Yeah.
And, like, for people to know that you told a lie.
Yeah, it's so clearly a lie.
It just, like, really hurts your credibility.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, what else is a lie?
Yeah, no, by the way, like, this was a bad move. That comment was bad. And maybe she got yelled at, and that's why she said she's taking time off of her phone.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. But certainly, yeah.
That's, like, so basic. Like, what were you guys talking about? Oh, just, like, two of my friends who hooked up. Like, tell me you're put on the spot and lying without telling me.
But, like, she wasn't even put on the spot because nobody expected her to respond.
No, of course.
Like,
these are A-list celebrities. They're entitled to have a conversation that stays in private.
Right. And we can all just speculate and wonder.
Yeah, that's our job. And you, like, responding is beneath you.
Yeah. Well, our next story is very related, because okay. Another conversation that people think they know what was said that's going viral from the Golden Globes is between Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Have you seen this?
About the weather?
About the weather.
Yeah.
And now she last night attended the Governor's Awards alone after her conversation with John had gone viral. A conversation that fans are speculating is either about divorce or the weather.
Yes.
So fans are speculating what Emily Blunt and John Krasinski were talking about while posing for photos on the 2024 Golden Globes red carpet Sunday.
It's insane that, like, two people, especially, like, two married people, like, can't get a modicum of privacy. Like, it's insane.
Okay, agreed. But why would they get privacy on a red carpet?
No, I know. But, like, just in the digital age, the fact that they can't have, like, a 10-second exchange without it being dissected, it's just, like, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
Like, who would want to attend an event like this?
A few theories have come to the forefront of the guessing game, with some people saying that he's looking to split from Emily. They said, I've watched this 500 times trying to convince myself he said something other than divorce. They say, I swear he's saying divorce, then other people are saying, I can't wait to get indoors.
Yes, so... Yes, it does look like he's mouthing the word divorce, but then in the whole clip, when somebody transcribes their entire conversation, they are talking about the weather, and I saw a lot of people commenting on the weather at the Golden Globes. It was so windy, like, it was cold. So I really do believe, I don't think these two are getting divorced, like, period, and I also don't think that's what they were saying.
And I think if they were getting divorced, they wouldn't, like, mention it on a red carpet. They're not a bunch of amateurs.
Right. And she would have just went by herself, by the way, because he wasn't nominated. And, like, it's not common for, like, a woman or an actor to go by themselves to an award show that only they're nominated for.
Yeah. But then she went without him last night. So people are like, is there a divorce? Actually? I don't think so. Also, because it's them.
Yeah, no. I actually was thinking about them while they were on TV. I mean, John Krasinski seriously should go to jail for his outfit. But I love these two. And I can't think of a couple I think more evenly matched in terms of level of fame and success and, like, respected. Like, they're both so well respected. I think maybe she's a little bit more. No, The Office.
No, people love him.
I know. Jack Ryan, The Office. Like, but he's kind of TV and she's kind of, like, silver screen, you know?
No, they're really great. And I think they also lift each other up. And also, like, for the stability of the realm, like, these two cannot get divorced. Like, people would not be okay.
For the stability of the realm. Yes. No, you're right. People wouldn't be okay. And it's nice. Like, God, my God, like, they're so, I can't even count on one hand, like, the amount of age-appropriate long-term relationships in Hollywood. Like, this is good shit.
Yeah. No, they are holding up the industry.
They're holding up the realm.
They're holding up the realm. There's, like, a couple couples that, like,
Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban.
No, that's really just us.
No, I'm telling you, people love them. It's not just us.
Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds.
I don't feel that way. Like,
not personally, yeah. but the people. Realm.
Yeah.
They're the people's couple.
They are. I personally, like, don't ride or die or ship for them, but I understand why people do. And again, it's like a well-matched, you know, age-appropriate couple. We stan.
Who else? Yeah, lots of kids.
Right.
Very, you know.
Share a lot on social media. Like, we know what's going on. Yeah,
they leave, like, funny comments.
Oh, see, actually, Ryan Reynolds' social media behavior is part of the reason I don't stand him as a couple.
Yeah, but also because we don't watch that movie.
Which?
You know the one.
Ant-Man?
No.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Is he even in Ant-Man? I'm not sure.
I think he plays Deadpool in someone else's movie of Ant-Man.
Okay, here are some like married long-term couples in Hollywood that I think people love. They love Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yes, for the stability of the realm. Yes.
For the stability of the realm. David and Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, they should get more credit than they do.
I agree. This is a good one, like everybody loves. Goldie and Kurt.
Yeah,
that
everybody loves.
That they keep the realm stable.
Yeah, they are one load-bearing wall
and,
of the realm.
And people who aren't into like the idea of marriage love Goldie and Kurt because they've been together for like 50 years but never legally married. And they're like, see, Goldie and Kurt did it. Oh, here's another one, the classic. Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell.
Classic.
Classic. Another one, Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick.
Very good.
Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban are on this list. Faith Hill and Tim McGraw.
That's good. I feel like they don't get enough credit either.
They don't. Another one that I don't feel like is holding the realm together, but it's nice that they're still married, SJP and Matthew Broderick.
Agreed.
Like if they got divorced, no one would care. The realm remains unharmed.
But we should still be more impressed than we are about how they fared.
Yeah. Oh, Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber.
Very good.
Oh my God. Not Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith being on this list.
No, they're not holding.
Also, this
list
needs to be updated because Hugh Jackman is still on here and we know he's getting divorced.
And they were never holding up the realm.
Who?
Him and his wife, Deborah Lee Furness.
Oh, I forgot who we were talking about. Yeah. Okay, I feel like I got them all. Oh, Ellen and Portia. Oh, no, I don't feel that way about Ellen and Portia, but Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar. I forget about them.
They do their part.
They do their part, and I feel like I love them.
And they're like legitimizing all the work of the 90s, you know, the fact that they're still together. It was all for something.
Alicia Keys and Swizz.
I'm good.
I'm good too. But wait, here is, this would shake up the realm a lot.
Shake it up the realm?
Shake it up Chicago. Leslie Mann and Judd Apatow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
That's exactly of the elk.
That's of the elk. That's it. Yeah. Yep. I got it. List done. That was fun.
That was fun.
I love lists. Wait, should we make a list? Like celebrity couples that would shake up the realm if they got divorced?
That's good because there are probably more than that, what that list has to offer.
But we're talking about a very specific type of couple. And you were right. Like Blake and Ryan.
Celebrity.
Divorces couple. That would shake up the realm.
But I feel like I won't know to search that. But I'll put it in. I need all my search words. Okay, John and Emily,
mm-hmm.
Blake and Ryan,
Leslie and
Judd.
Is that it?
There was one other couple in there that, Dax and Kristen.
Yes, so classic. I stand by Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban, but it's up to your discretion if you want to put them on the list.
I just don't think people like
feel
have
the way.
Enough taste.
Yeah.
To feel as strongly about them as we do.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
They're kind of like our little thing.
Yeah, like we kind of invented them.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story? Speaking of couples.
Yeah.
Simone Biles is on the cover of Vanity Fair and her husband is giving a few quotes, including insisting again that he had no clue who she was before they met.
But how does he explain his tweets where he literally says her name?
He doesn't, but he said, a lot of people don't believe me when I say I had no clue. He said, at the time, he was at a training camp at his alma mater.
At what time? She's been famous for like 15 years.
And in 2016, when of her Olympic success in
okay,
Rio.
Okay.
And that he wasn't paying attention to the Rio Games. He said, quote, I never once was like, oh, let me check gymnastics out. He noted that he only caught some basketball and a bit of track. He quickly learned when he found her on Instagram. I was like, man, she has a lot of followers. She must be pretty good.
Okay. I just want to say, like, it's really hard for any, like, living, breathing American to not know who Simone Biles is, let alone an athlete. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying this.
But he's doubling down.
He said, like, I grew up on a ranch without electricity and no internet or television. Okay, then those people, I believe them when they say they don't know who Simone Biles is.
He said, when she won the Olympics, I was in college and we didn't have NBC. We didn't have Olympics channels.
I'm sorry.
And we were in training camp in late July, early August.
The amount of details, I know he's lying. I'm sorry. He's lying.
I don't think he's lying. This is a crazy thing to lie about twice. And now in Vanity Fair, not just like an off the cuff remark on a podcast.
I think he said it. People were so shook by it that he gets asked it now and he has to double down because if he admits he's lying, it's really weird.
Also, we didn't have NBC. Isn't that like basic cable?
First of all, literally everyone has NBC.
Unless you didn't have a television, but in which case you say I didn't have a television, but also it's like streaming. No, and social media.
This day and age. And I'm sorry, it's not like Simone Biles only exists on Channel 4. Like, she's everywhere. Wheaties, you know?
No, and it's like if you follow ESPN on Instagram because you're an athlete and you care about those things, then like Simone comes up on your feed sometimes.
And I like how he was like, I mean, yeah, I watch like basketball, but how'd you watch basketball if you didn't have NBC?
Right.
No, and he's like, I watch basketball, like putting down gymnastics when gymnastics, like who the fuck watches Olympic basketball? Nobody, everybody watches gymnastics, bitch.
Yeah. Simone is unbothered by him and his comments. And she loves him and she's standing by her man.
And that's great, but it's giving jealous.
Wouldn't you be?
Duh. That's like me marrying Joe Rogan. Like, you think I wouldn't be mad every day?
You'd be like, I never heard of him until we matched on Raya.
That's, by the way, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I have spoken about Joe Rogan. He has spoken about Simone Biles. But then 10 years later, it'd be like me saying, I have no idea who Joe Rogan is. You guys pulling up this clip.
You would say, I don't have Spotify.
Right. Right.
So anyways, she's looking gorgeous on the cover of Vanity Fair.
I love her, by the way. This is not a reflection of her.
But if you love her, you kind of have to love him because A...
because she does.
Equals B and B equals C.
No, but it's like, she's on the cover of Vanity Fair. Why the fuck is her husband getting a quote? Like, can she, like, have her cover?
Maybe she seems like she wants to bring him into things and...
Yeah, I guess.
For him to have his shine.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's sweet of her.
Yeah, and I guess, like, if I was on the cover of Vanity Fair and, like, Ben obviously came with me to the photo shoot and they asked him a question, I would be like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, don't talk to him.
You never know.
That is something I would do.
It's not like, you know, Simone gets a lot of press, so maybe if it was, like, your first big thing, you'd say, shut up, Ben. But, like, to her, it's like, oh, sure, whatever.
Another cover. It's true.
Another cover.
Yeah. Another one.
Another one.
I'm so glad we're out of that DJ Khaled Snapchat era. Like, that was a really annoying time.
It was, but we got some like really good quotes from it. Like, I love another one.
I also love Major business. Key.
I love Major Key.
Yeah.
And I love Businesses Booming.
Was that him?
Yeah, that little sneaker kid that he used to go and see. And he'd say how business, and he said business is booming.
Yeah.
And by the way, I never even watched DJ Khaled's Snapchats. Like, this is what I got like filtered down to
regurgitated.
Me.
Regurgitated.
That's how pervasive it was.
Yeah, no, he really like was the culture for an entire year.
Another one.
Obsessed.
And also like Major Key.
It was a Major Key.
There's so many. I say Major Key all the time.
Yeah. You know what I say all the time? DJ Khaled. That's what
do
I say.
Do you?
Literally never, not once in my life.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
Jennifer Lawrence is dishing.
Which one? Dissing or
dish.
Dishing?
Dish. On her stressful wedding day. So Jennifer Lawrence opened up about her 2019 nuptials while walking the red carpet at Sunday night's Golden Globes, admitting that she found being a bride to be, quote, awful.
Oh my God, thank you for someone saying it.
She said she mostly worried about the guests having a good time, which made the entire day so stressful.
So you're spending all this money for other people.
You're not having fun. You're just like, is this person having fun? The private ceremony was attended by celebs, including Robert De Niro, who had worked with Jennifer on Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, and Joy. But at the rehearsal dinner, she admitted that she was so worried that De Niro wasn't having a good time that she even told him to go home.
LOL.
I looked over and I saw Bob, who doesn't know anybody, and he's kind of wandering around.
No.
And I immediately was like, no, this isn't what he wants to be doing. I don't want him here. So I went over and whispered. I was like, go home. And he was nice. He like talked to my parents and was polite, but I was just like, go. That just genuinely made me feel better.
That's funny.
Yeah,
no, I mean, everybody has their own Robert De Niro. You know, obviously hers is on a bigger scale. But I'm so glad someone's finally talking about it because like I'm really sick of like the yassification of bridehood. It sucks.
Yeah, it does. It shouldn't have to be that way. And I hope that, but no, everyone's on there, unless it's like your second wedding.
You have to learn the hard way.
You have to learn by experience. Nobody can tell you to just like stop and dial it back.
And I like imagine people who have been married more than once say that their second weddings are so much better than their first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Taylor Strecker.
Yeah, but also I feel like a lot of people have second weddings that are much smaller.
Yeah, because they realize it's not that important. And like what's worth spending money on is like the people, the food. Yeah, like, no, but I'm saying for the actual budget of the wedding, like, you know what to spend money on, what not to spend money on, what's stupid, what's not stupid. Like, I feel like a second wedding is such a vibe.
Yeah, but then it's always surprising to see people who have a really big second wedding.
Yeah, that I feel like you didn't learn.
No, but it's like, well, now that I found the right person.
I know.
I still want all of the theatrics.
I know, but like the theatrics aren't worth it.
Yeah. They're but not. When done well, like you really could, it's a great time.
For the guests.
I had a great time at my wedding.
I had a great time at your wedding too.
Because all the stress was beforehand and I didn't let any stress like reach me on my wedding day. I was like, we're throwing a party and I'm going to have fun.
Right. And you're going to wear this hat to the party tonight?
You know it.
You know it.
So they're remaking Wicked. And if that line doesn't make it into the movie, like, I will be boycott. Going on strike. Did you know that the Bridgerton oldest son is in Wicked?
Jonathan.
The Viscount.
Yes, I did.
I learned that from the Golden Globes.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He is so hot and so gay. It's just not fair.
I wonder who he's playing.
Him and Matt Bomer. Like, it ain't right. I don't know who he's playing. I feel like he's wearing his hat to the party tonight, no? That guy.
Is he playing Fiero?
Fiero.
And then who's SpongeBob playing?
I feel like SpongeBob is literally an extra. Like, he's not even... He's a character actor. Like, he's literally a munchkin.
Yeah, Jonathan's playing Fiero.
And who is SpongeBob?
Fiero. Let me pull up the IMDb for Wicked.
No, I'm telling you, like, SpongeBob plays, like, the janitor at the school that they meet at. Like, it's really...
At Shiz University?
Like, he's literally the smallest character. He's...
Okay, so we know... Oh, he plays Bach. Who is Bach?
He's not ringing... His name isn't ringing a bell.
Oh, is he the one who she sets up her sister with?
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I need to refresh my Wicked...
He's the Munchkin Lander man.
What did I say? Munchkin.
Who was Elphaba and Glinda's friend during their time at Shiz.
Like I said, he's a munchkin.
Yeah, I do think he gets together with the sister, and then that's why she's like, you should wear this hat to the party night. Something like that.
Those are the Fast Five. And we have Dear Toast.
Nessa's love interest. I think I saw Wicked once, and the way I
was going to say, like, I've seen Wicked like 4 times. Like, the last time was like maybe 2 years ago. Like, and I know Elphaba, Glinda, and the Wizard.
Yeah, you did see it recently.
Yeah, with Jessica Voss. She invited me backstage and painted my hand green, and I got to go like on the stage and stuff.
I haven't seen it since childhood, but it really, so much of it stuck with me.
And I'll stand there with the Wizard, feeling things I've never felt. And though I'd never show it, I'd be so happy I could melt. And so it will be for the rest of my life. And I want nothing else till I die. Held in such high esteem. When people see me, they will scream. For half of Oz's favorite team. The Wizard. And I. No, that was so good. Let me also say, since quitting my vape, I can sing so much better.
Well, there's a reason.
And I just want to say I'm 9 days clean. No fuck ups.
Wow. And I just want to say Keala settles in the Wicked movie.
Oh, fuck me up.
So now you know it's a party.
Fuck me up, Keala. Where the hell has she been?
She's been working on the Wicked movie.
She should have been in Mean Girls, a musical.
Yeah, she should be in every musical.
No, ever since that movie came out, Greatest Showman, if you're going to make a musical and Keala settles is not involved, like, pack your bags, pack your things.
Back to the drawing board.
Avita Zane. Motherfucker.
Also, Jeff Goldblum is the Wizard.
Love.
That's a good cast.
Love.
There's some good castings here. Michelle Yeoh is in it.
Oh, no. I forgot to put on deodorant today.
Oh, good thing we're almost done.
We have Dear Toasters.
Great.
Our weekly advice segment that is brought to you by Nutrafol. Listen, hair thinning, shedding, any sort of hair issues. It's very common. Lots of different reasons. I thought I was like above it. I was like, that's never going to happen to me. Like, the one thing I have in this life is my hair. Cut to literally my hair, like brushing it and so much coming out. I realized I was experiencing hair shedding. I had never even heard that term before. And I reached out to my community and I said, what are we doing for hair thinning, shedding? And everybody said Nutrafol. I had seen it online before and I know like people have had success with it, but the amount of people who told me to use it and who have had great success with it was really reassuring. So Nutrafol is a proactive approach. They target the root causes of hair thinning, any sort of hair issue. And that could be due to a lot of different things. For a lot of people, it's, you know, for Jackie, it was postpartum. Thank you. I'm like, what's the word? Postpartum. For me, it was change in diet, change in lifestyle, hair loss. There's a million reasons. Stress. And so Nutrafol is going to target the root cause of your issue. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. They have over a million people that are seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. You take a 3-minute quiz. It'll determine what the underlying root cause that is keeping you from reaching your hair potential. They'll analyze your lifestyle, biology, hair history, as well as environmental triggers. Then they'll create a hair health plan that is tailored to your hair needs. Start your hair growth today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter the promo code The Toast. Take the quiz, get started reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol, Nutrafol.com/quiz. Promo code is The Toast. Nutrafol.com/quiz. Promo code The Toast. All right, Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment where you girlies can write in about anything and get advice from us. If you've always wondered, like, what would Jackson Claude think? Now is your opportunity. There are two ways to submit. DearToasters@gmail.com. That's an email account. We will keep all of your information anonymous. Also, if you go to thetoastpodcast.com and scroll down, there's a little submission box that says Dear Toasters. That is completely anonymous. Write us in. Let us know what's going on about anything in your life, from work to relationships to sex to pregnancy, whatever it is. We keep your shit anonymous. And if you've written us in and we haven't read it on air, here's what might be happening. One, your submission might be too long. We try and keep it like a paragraph at most, you know? Two, your situation might just like be uninteresting and that's something I can't help you with. Ready?
Yes.
Hello, Jackson Claude. My husband's family has a few rental properties, all of which are in a five mile radius from our home. A new renter, who's a single mom around our age, recently moved into one of their rentals. When she first moved in, there was something wrong with the water heater, so my husband's grandparents asked him to fix it, and he did. Since then, she has been texting my husband directly for any and every little convenience. She texted about seeing a rat in the kitchen, taking out the trash, a few other things. I'm not entirely sure how she ended up with his number, but I digress. I'm not usually a jealous person, but I find this inappropriate and a little disrespectful. I asked my husband, why doesn't she call your family who owns the house with the issues? And he says it's not a big deal because he would be the one to fix that stuff anyway. She's just cutting out the middleman. I think messaging another woman's husband is not okay. Am I being insane? A little bit. Just a little.
It's not about the like messaging another woman's husband. It's like,
right.
It's
she's just not thinking, let me text this girl's husband. She's thinking, let me text the renter. I mean, the landlord.
The person from the family who comes and fixes things and like is just the most efficient person to text. But I also understand why that is annoying for your life to have this like woman who's constantly like telling your husband to come and do this and that and this and that.
But
and
isn't that like a part of your husband's job?
Is not. Is it?
It is. She said like, normally, like a tenant would text the grandparents and the grandparents would send her husband. So he's going anyway. But she, by the way, if my landlord was like, all right, I'm sending over John to fix the stove and John comes over, I'm getting John's number.
Yeah. And like, it's always John coming. Yeah. In right. The future, I'm just texting John directly. Yeah.
So I think you need to change your mindset of being like, she's not texting another woman's husband. In her mind, she's texting her landlord slash handyman. Like, that's fine. But, you know, you always got to keep an eye out for a hot young thing. I think that's very important. You know, girls can be very treacherous and fortuitous. So always, you know, keep an ear out for like what's going on, especially some hot young thing moves in and your husband's going over there all the time. But I don't think you immediately need to be like, this is inappropriate. It's really not inappropriate.
Yeah, it hasn't become inappropriate right now. It's just business, but that is annoying.
No, but keep bothering your husband about it. Push him right into her arms. Keep bothering him. So you're being a little crazy, like a little bit. Like these are things you think to yourself and you're conscious of, but you never say out loud, you know?
Yeah, you don't have cause.
You have literally no cause, so you do look crazy.
Until you have cause. So you keep an eye out to look for cause.
Are you ready for our next one?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, girly swirlies. Love you both dearly. So I live and die for smutty romance novels, but lately it's been making me unrightfully annoyed at my boyfriend. I know it's psychotic to think that my boyfriend could be a man written by a woman, but like some effort never hurts, right? I've brought up that I really want to be complimented, given flowers, taken on dates, etc., multiple times, and still nothing changes. I know it's because of my smut books that are making it seem like all men are perfect, but it's starting to really upset me that mine isn't. Do I put the books down or the man? Please feel free to rip me apart. I have to say, I'm so glad that you wrote in about this because I think that this is a universal experience. Two things can happen when you're a girl in a relationship with a smut book. And I just want to say, it's not one or the other. Both can happen at different times. One, and I've heard that's very common, is like it reignites a flame in a relationship. It gives you new ideas. Like it's been actually very good. Your husband buys you more smut novels. That can happen.
Yeah.
But it can also, and for me, like I have had this where I'm like, Ben, you have literally never put your hand on the small of my back. Like the tiniest things, because that's what the smut writers do. They like really romanticize the most random, small, innocuous thing. Not like, oh, let me buy you a house filled with roses. Like, obviously, that's like obvious. It's the little things. I'm like, Ben, how come you have literally never, ever once like put your hand on the small of my back? Like, so it's either can happen.
Yeah.
Totally normal.
I do think it's normal, and the men in these books are perfect, and they're written by women. Like, they are not real, and it's not fair.
It's never going to happen.
It's not fair to compare your relationship to the relationship from the book. So I think you need to take fiction. You need to take the books out of it and look at your relationship on its own. Now, if this person's your boyfriend and you're not going on dates, like, that's not right. You should go on a date sometime. I don't think you need to put the boyfriend down, but I do think maybe a little work on your relationship couldn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you need to take a step out of, like, the smut universe for 1 second and think, like, what, like, is what you're asking unreasonable? What are you asking? Are you asking for, like, a little bit more romance? That's totally fine. But are you asking for things, like, are just not in the male, like, the capability of a man? Like, you need to understand if you're being unrealistic in your expectations.
Yeah.
But just know, I just want to say, and I need people to sound off in the comments, like, I have heard, like, I think this is extremely common.
Yeah, it's fair to want a little more.
Yeah, of course. And like a book making you see that isn't wrong.
Yeah, but it's he's not going to be, you know.
You can't compare a fake man to a real one.
You can't, especially a fake man written by a woman who like knows.
No, for the sole purpose of like romance.
I think we should start reading like romance novels written by men so we can.
No thanks.
Get some reality.
Yeah, it's just going to be like blowjobs.
You think? No. Are there romance written by men? You knew what I was saying.
But can you repeat that?
I think everyone knew. Are there romance novels written by men?
I'm sure that they are out there. I have never heard of one. I've never seen another human being reading or recommending.
Popular, successful, good romance novels. Okay.
No. Just like, it's for the girls. It's for and by the girls. Like, please, fuck off. I feel like, like they're going to see, you know, women like Colleen Hoover, Tessa Bailey, Lucy Score, like making a lot of money. And like now men are going to try. Fuck off. Like, can we have one thing?
Yeah. But I do think sometimes I feel that way. And that's why sometimes I can't read these books. It's like so unrealistic. And like,
I know. It is unrealistic.
Yeah.
But that's why we love it.
Yeah, that's true. But not if it's affecting your real life. In a negative way.
Right, because people read fantasy books like Iron Flame and no one's expecting like a dragon to take them to work the next day. Like, you understand like this is fantasy.
Yeah.
You have to go into smut with that understanding as well.
Yeah, it's true.
I am obsessed with our third and final Dear Toasters. Like, you couldn't have written a Dear Toasters more perfect for me, okay?
Okay.
I consider myself a pretty traditional girly. I've always envisioned taking my husband's last name when I get married. Now, I have fallen in love. He is an absolute pijam. We're getting married next year. Just one tiny problem. His last name is Doody.
No. How is it spelled?
D-O-O-D-Y. He said that it would mean a lot to him to get his for me to take his name, but come on, Doody? Am I just being immature and should suck it up? Or should I stand my ground and not be named after feces for the rest of my life? Help.
I mean,
no, I'm sorry. Like, absolutely not. You can't take this name. It's so obvious. And two, like, I'm not even a big fan of, like, name taking. I never thought I'd become, like, one of those girls. But, like, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it in practice because it's just, like, really inconvenient. You know, you've established yourself your entire life. And it's not even about, like, the dynamics or the politics of it. It's, like, the convenience.
Well, I feel both ways. It's incredibly inconvenient, yes, to have to, like, reintroduce yourself to the world midway through your life. Well, not midway, like a quarter through your life. Depends on when you get married. And no, I'm talking about, like, yeah, I'm going to be one of those, like, patriarchy queens. Like, no, I don't fuck with, like, it's bullshit. Like, I have to change my whole name, identity, everything I've accomplished, my family history for you. Who are you?
Yeah. And especially
I don't subscribe.
If your name is in an upgrade and it's a downgrade.
Oh, maybe? Yeah. I happen to love my last name. I also actually really like Saffer. So if I had to take it, I wouldn't mind. And I'm sure I'll feel differently, like, when I have kids. Like, I'll want to have, like, the same last name as my kids. But do you really want your kids having the last name Duty? Like, no. Talk about bullied. Kids are fucking cruel.
But what do you do about that?
You're just giving, you're handing it
but
over.
But the kid's name is going to be Duty, no?
Okay, let's talk about, like, a hyphen.
What do you do da duty about
let's say her last name is, like, Sterling. I don't know. I'm just making this up.
I like that.
I like it, too.
A Sterling Duty?
Let's hyphen it, but some people hyphen and, like, cut the name in half.
I agree, but let's
Sturdew.
Let's take a step back and look to the newly wedded Kaylin Miller Keys and Dean Unglert, who now go by the last name Bell.
Yeah, they gave themselves a brand new name. But why, just because your husband's last name is Judy, you have to give up your own name? Like, that's bullshit.
Why? It could be Coombs of, like, fresh, tabula rasa, something new for the both of us. And I think Bell is either Dean's mom's maiden name,
Jackie, I believe. I don't know if we've ever used the phrase Coombs of fresh on the toast before. We have to explain what that means.
Oh, it means, like,
it's Yiddish,
comes
right?
It's Yiddish. It means, like, comes fresh. Fresh.
It kind of gives, like, tabula rasa energy. Like,
that's what we just said. Coombs of fresh, tabula rasa.
Oh, but I think of Coombs of fresh always, like, when I put on a fresh pair of underwear, like, after, like, a workout or, like, something really sweaty in a shower, I'm Coombs of fresh.
I mean, all the time I'm Coombs of fresh.
Yeah.
Change the sheets, Coombs of fresh.
Oh, Coombs of fresh, yeah.
Even though in my house they're called fresh cakes.
Oh, yeah. In my house they're called, crap! Fuck!
What?
Oh, what? My God. Oh, great.
What?
I ordered a dresser on Wayfair approximately, let me tell you. What's today's date? On November 2nd. On November 30th, it was attempted to be delivered. And I have tried ever since November 30th, 10 times to get this fucking dresser delivered. There has been an issue every single time. One time, the certificate of insurance was wrong. Second time, the dresser came and it was broken. Third time, the delivery people were like, sorry, the weather, we're skipping you. Always an issue. Today, it was the day. And they said, oh, between 10 and 12. I'm like, of course, like, the 2 hours a day, I'm completely unavailable. So I said during the toast, I'm not going to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'm going to wait for their call and I'm going to get this dresser fucking delivered. I missed the call.
Not meant to be.
The dresser was delivered.
Yay. Do you have a picture?
I do.
Send to me. Back to what we were saying. Oh, take a note out of Kaylin and Dean's book. That's my advice.
Oh, yeah. Come up with a new name. I'm sorry. No, like, you Belle shouldn't have to.
I think Belle is Dean's mom's maiden name.
Honestly, I think that moving forward, instead of just, like, automatically taking the husband's last name, I think we should sit down and, like, have a really honest conversation about A, whose name is better?
Mm-hmm.
B, whose family history, sorry, is more impressive?
Agreed.
C, like, who's accomplished more? C, what letter of the alphabet do we want our kids to be stuck with? Like, a lot of things. I'm sorry. Like, we just need to be more honest. And Duty is never going to win. Sterling is going to win.
Yeah. Duty's never going to win. Unless they're up against diarrhea.
I think I would almost prefer diarrhea. Let me tell you why.
Because it's like...
Because you could say it's diarrhea. Whereas like duty is duty. There's no alternate pronunciation. It's like very phonetically, you know, singular. Diaria?
Yeah. And the word, like it could be in another language, like something beautiful. It's like
French.
It's the act that makes it gross. But it could be like French for
rose. It could be French for rose. And if you say it with an accent, like you're golden.
Diaria.
Diaria.
And that's something that like over time could be spelled differently. I think that's what happens to last names over the years. They like get changed. That happened at Ellis Island.
100%.
And there are like cultural factors that change last names forever. Families that have, you know, 100-year history, they come to Ellis Island. It's chopped in half. It's changed. It's made to be like more Anglo. And I think we're at that kind of time in history right now where it's like gender dynamics are changing. Why should the woman always take the man's name? Let's make a change.
Love. Love, love, love.
I love that.
Diaria it is.
Diaria.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in. Just a reminder, deartoasters@gmail.com is where you can submit. We're running low on submissions because, like, honestly, not to be rude, like, some of them stink. So send us some new submissions, either deartoasters@gmail.com or our website, thetoastpodcast.com. Thank you to everybody who wrote in. Also, if you've written in recently and we've read your submission on air and we gave you advice and you either took it or chose to ignore it, which is totally fine, send us an update. What went on? What happened? Write in the subject line update so we can find it. That's our show. Tomorrow and Friday's episodes are both podcast only, so YouTube girlies, gird your loins. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us video thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere. Podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing, incredible, beautiful, stunning, and smart day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Love ya.
Love ya. Bye.